When we open up our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read verse 1. And if you need a Bible, you can raise your hand and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. 1 Corinthians 12, 1. This is our theme for the year that we've been going through. 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. I'll read that again. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. God, we ask, Lord, for, God, a real spirit of wisdom and revelation today in this service, Lord, all of our services, God. We pray that you would really speak to us, God, and give each one of us, Lord, not only awareness, God, help us not to be ignorant, Lord, of the things of the Spirit, but give us a hunger, God, to go after those things, Lord. God, to that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach a prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just convey your words, God, but convey your heart. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen, amen. Let's see, I feel like I haven't been here in a while, and it was wedding season was upon us. I did 3 weddings in 6 days the last time. And so, in fact, one of our you guys want to stand up, Matthias, right? They got married last Thursday at a civil ceremony here. And Jeanette, good job. So that was the midweek one, and then Monday it was Diane's, and then Saturday was Will. So I was in Jeju, came back Hong Kong, and then left back to Seoul. And then there's still like 6 more weddings before the year's out. And so, which is a good thing, amen? Right? Even though you don't get to see my face often, it's a good thing that happens. Today, I have a confession to make today. During our worship time, I was really battling during worship. Anyone else really battling during worship today? Oh, 2. Okay. We're on the same page right now. But I was bad for different reasons. Last week, so we're on our way to Korea, to Seoul, for Will's wedding. And so my wife and I were flying Cathay, so we went to the lounge. And we're sitting in the lounge, and then this group of like middle-aged men came into our section. It was like really quiet. I was having a really nice time with my wife. You know, it's kind of rare, no kids and all this stuff. And then this like these 10, 12 guys come in, obnoxious, loud, cursing, you know, and they were just going crazy. And I'm trying to eat my food, and I'm getting really upset. You know, these guys have ruined my mood, you know, and like I'm going to a wedding. And I mean, they were so loud. They were like every other word was an F-bomb here and there. And I got so upset, I got out of my seat and I walked over and said, hey, you're not the only ones in this lounge, man, right? So keep it down. And so then I went back to my seat, and they said something like, oh, let's, you know, hey, guys, keep it down. But they didn't keep it down. And so I'm sitting in, I'm literally like right next, and I'm boiling inside. And Lisa's just saying, calm down, calm down. And I actually wanted to fight these guys. I mean, I was hoping that, you know, on the way out, when I was walking out, this is my confession, I'm a pastor. I was giving them a dirty look. I was like, you know, and I was hoping one of them would stand up and let's go outside, man. And then I would share about Jesus, right, to them during that time. But, so, that's not my point. My point is, so that just bothered me. And then on today, as I come to service, Pastor Nate's leading wonderfully. I close my eyes. I'm trying to worship the Lord. And I get reminded of that incident. And I'm really battling inside. I'm like, you know, and the Lord's saying, you got to forgive them. I was like, no, I don't want to forgive them. No, I don't want to forgive them. And, you know, and now, this connects to spiritual gifts, okay? That's why I'm telling the story. And I was so thankful for the gift of tongues. I mean, I'm always thankful, but in this moment, I was so thankful because I just couldn't do it. Like, in my own strength and in my flesh, I couldn't do it. I couldn't forgive them. I couldn't keep it out of my mind. I was, and as I was thinking about it, I was getting upset. I was, you know, that memory came back, and I was starting to boil inside while I'm trying to worship God at the same time. That doesn't work, by the way. And I was the whole time, so I just did what I know how to do. I just started praying in tongues. And then I could feel my emotions go down. I could feel my mind opening up, and I was able to forgive them. And to me, God is so poetic in the way he does things. And it was another reminder of how important spiritual gifts are. They are so important. 1 Corinthians 14, desire earnestly spiritual gifts because we need them. Brothers and sisters, there's so many things in our life that we cannot do on our own strength. There are so many things that need to be accomplished, so many things that God is asking us to do that in of ourselves we just are incapable of doing. And so God says, I understand you. I created you. I know how you work. So let me give you something that's going to help you to do what you cannot do in your own strength. And, you know, thankfully by the end of worship, I was freely worshiping the Lord. You know, what I was created to do, no barriers. And it was really this precious gift that really allowed me to do that. It's important. Spiritual gifts are important. They allow us to go beyond ourselves. I mean, think about it. How many of you, like, professionally, in your family, you know, in relationships, you only want to accomplish or do what you're able to do in your own strength? Of course not. We want to go beyond. We want to accomplish so much more than what we're able to do, and we're asking for God's grace, for his wisdom and his gifts, which he freely gives to the church. It's powerful. And so we need to come into this series that we're going through to really learn and grow and capture God's heart, that he wants us to go above and beyond. That's his heart. He is able to do much more exceedingly abundantly than we can ask or imagine. That's God's heart, and he wants us to step in greater things that even Jesus did, that he says tells us in John. Amen? That's why we're doing this, okay? So let me tell you a story. The great violinist, Niccolo Paganini, though I've never heard of him before, but I'm just reading the text, okay? He was a great violinist. You know, maybe I'm too honest today. And he had a really expensive, incredible violin, and he willed his violin to Genoa, which was the city of his birth, but only on one condition, that this violin, this instrument, must never be played. That was a condition. And it was a really unfortunate condition because this particular wood that this violin was made of, very expensive. You know, I don't know if you knew this. Some violins go for $2-3 million, believe it or not. Like those guys that are concert masters playing in symphonies, their violins are worth millions. And so it was this, unfortunately, through this condition, this particular wood, as long as you played it and took care of it, it actually would last a very long time. But as soon as it was discarded and not used, it would begin to decay. So today, you can actually still see this violin. This exquisite violin now has become a worm-eaten instrument. Completely valueless, except as a relic, as a gift by this famous violinist. Why am I telling this story? This is a really good reminder that a life that's withdrawn from service would eventually lose its meaning of what life is really all about. In other words, when we talk about the gifts, God gives us gifts. These gifts are meant to be used. These gifts are meant to be used in the service to other people. And so when you don't use what God has given you to serve others, then it moves into decay. And then we don't walk into the purposes of God. Right? We are learning this season about spiritual gifts, not so much that we learn how to edify ourselves, which is important, or to identify our giftedness. You know, maybe some of you are thinking, okay, I wonder what my gifts are. Really concerned about that. Now, that's okay in part, But really, the whole purpose of these gifts is to serve others, especially those in the body of Christ. In other words, the gifts should be more about others than it is about you. Turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking. See, the gifts are about others, not about you. Go ahead, lay that out. So, because spiritual gifts, Paul writes and he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be unaware. I mean, that was thousands of years ago. I want to tell you now, it's even more confusing. There's even more misunderstanding about how these gifts work. So, for the purposes, and I gave this outline to all the guys that will be speaking during this series, I'm making it as simple as possible. I mean, this is going to be one of those simple, simple messages. And simply this, it's just 4 points. 1, define the gift. 2, give biblical examples of the gift. 3, give a personal example or a contemporary example. And 4, why you should want this gift. That's simple, okay? So every sermon in this series is going to run through that simple parameter. Define the gift, biblical references to this gift, personal anecdote or contemporary anecdote, and why you should hunger and long and thirst for this gift. And then we'll finish by praying for the gift. Okay? So simple, right? Okay, this is what we're going to do. So today, the topic I was given is the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. So let me give you the definition. It's up on the screen. The word of wisdom refers to the capacity to know the mind of the Spirit in a given situation and to communicate clearly the situation, facts, truth, or application of the facts and truth to meet the needs of the situation. Okay, you guys got it? Now you're more confused. It's okay. That's why the sermon doesn't stop here. We continue on. This word of wisdom is part of, remember, there's 3 separate clusters that we categorize. People have different titles of categories, but it's basically word. You heard Pastor Nate, the gift of teaching. Last week, Pastor Andrew, the gift of exhortation. This is the last part of this cluster, which is now the word of wisdom. And then there's what we call the sign gifts, or sometimes it's called the power gifts. And this would be healing, tongues, interpretation, discerning of spirits, those type of things. And then there's what we call, mostly call the help gifts, or sometimes they're called the love gifts clusters. And that's the gift of helps, the gift of administration, the gift of hospitality, you know, those type of things. And so we're going to go through all of these from the scriptures, but this is part of the word cluster. But the word of wisdom actually can also be deposited in the power cluster as well. Because it is prophetic in nature, but I categorize it this way because I'll explain why in this. Actually, this is really similar to a power cluster gift that's called the word of knowledge. And so I'll explain what these are. Now, both of these gifts, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, are only expressed in one passage, in the 1 Corinthians passage on spiritual gifts during this time. The word of wisdom is revelatory. In other words, there is a prophetic element to this, and because it's not just a collection of wisdom over time. See, the word of wisdom, it's a spiritual gift. It's not because someone has lived a long time and has gained a lot of wisdom. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're operating out of the gift. And so you have to make that kind of distinction. In other words, this is not a natural ability. It's an actual spiritual gift. Now, there is a natural ability, or probably better said, an acquired skill of wisdom, but that's not what this gift is really talking about. And when I get to the personal anecdote, or when we get to the Bible, you'll kind of understand what I'm saying a little bit more. Wisdom, this is just a pure definition. Wisdom is defined as the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Or I just like the really simple definition. The really knowledge or wisdom is skill at living life. Like you want to basically have a mentor that has some wisdom. In other words, has some skill at living life. You know, like when you go to the gym, you know, maybe you ate too much over the summer, and so you're really desiring to go into the gym. And so you go to the gym and you want to get a personal trainer. I guarantee if there's two guys in front of you and one guy's muscular and buff and the other guy's fat, I guarantee you're going to go to the buff muscular guy. Why? Because he has some skill at being fit. You guys understand what I'm saying, right? In that same way, that's what we're talking about. Wisdom, someone who has wisdom has skill in living life. And so there's a misnomer that if you're older, that you have wisdom. That's not true. You'd assume that if someone was older because they would have more life to have skills in, but we know that's not that accurate because they could just fail at life. And so they would not have wisdom even though they're older. They may not have learned from their experiences in this way. Now, what is the difference between the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge? So I'm just going to use a secular definition, and then I'm going to extrapolate that. Secularly, knowledge is really about facts and ideas we acquire through study, research, investigation, observation, or experience. In other words, it's a collating of information. That's what we call knowledge. You can be knowledgeable about a subject as you collate information. That's in that same way, wisdom, on the other hand, is the ability to discern and judge which aspects of that knowledge are true, lasting, and applicable to your life. So wisdom works as you have all this information. How are you able to pinpoint certain streams and you know that this information is true, and then you can actually build an application in your life of how to apply this information or this knowledge? And so spiritually, the word of knowledge is a revelation that's given by God. We're going to talk about word of knowledge a little bit later on. It's specific information unknown to the person that's receiving the word. That's basically how this works. This is the word of wisdom. And so he's off to the racetrack, right? Let's go. So, like this is an example. I was praying for this happened years ago. It was my first year as a youth pastor. I was praying for this young kid. He was actually a little gangbanger, a little gangpae, and so. That means gangster in Korean. And so he came to the front to get prayer. And when I laid my hands on him, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge, like information that I could totally not know. And I actually, the word of knowledge actually was a picture. And it was crazy. I saw his mom's purse. I saw her purse opened up. And I saw a hand going into the purse and taking money out. And so I just thought, oh, you stole from your mom. You know, and it's what I said in a really nice way. But basically, I think you stole from your mom. And he's like, and his eyes just bugged out because he did. He literally just stole from his mom's purse just before that. That is a word of knowledge. That is an information that you receive, revelation that you could not know any of this information. Like, there's no way you can know this unless you were there yourself. But wisdom is a little different. Wisdom is taking that information and bringing a very profound or sometimes simple application of that information. That's kind of, so they kind of work hand in hand, but not necessarily, because I'll give you an example where that actually didn't work hand in hand in that way. And so wisdom is also revelation given by God to understand the situation and give clear direction and application. In other words, it's kind of taking that information. And so the word of wisdom, information could be, doesn't have to be revelatory. It could just be something that you receive, something that you hear, something that you study. But so you have information, but the word of wisdom is God gives you now revelation to take that information and apply it, to give clear direction to what's happening in the situation and give application to that. Ralph Naber, a famous Southern Baptist preacher, he uses the analogy of a doctor to differentiate between these two gifts. And so this idea, he says, a doctor may gain a new insight into physiology, genetics, or vaccines. This is what would be akin to a word of knowledge. But the word of wisdom is a little different, well, a lot different. And this is the way it works. The word of wisdom is the doctor has the ability to diagnose the patient's problem. So you got the problem, and they diagnose it, which is the knowledge, but also is able to apply the resources of medical science in that particular case. So if you've ever watched the television show House, you guys know the show. That's basically like a television show on the word of wisdom, right? They're basically trying to, like, this crazy medical case. They don't know what's going on. And the whole time they figure out this is this, but then also use medical science to figure out a solution to cure this person. That's basically the word of wisdom. It's not just information, but it's taking that information to give and bring direction from that information and application to that. So it's really a very, very powerful gift. So let me give you two examples in the Bible, and I generally like to give an Old Testament example and a New Testament example. So Old Testament example, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. So we're going to read this text, 1 Kings chapter 3, and this is now Solomon. And some of you are very familiar with this one. 1 Kings chapter 3, we're going to read at verse 16. This is Solomon and the two mothers. Remember this story? So, verse 16 says, "Then two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, 'Oh, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house. I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. And it happened on the third day after I gave birth that this woman also gave birth to a child, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, only the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on it, and she rose in the middle of the night and took my son from beside me while your maidservant slept and laid him on her bosom and laid her dead son in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him carefully in the morning, behold, he was not my son whom I had born. Then the other woman said, 'No, for the living one is my son and the dead one is your son.' But the first woman said, 'No, for the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son.' Thus they spoke before the king. Then the king said, 'The one says, this is my son who is living, and your son is the dead one. And the other says, no, for your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one.' And the king says, 'Get me a sword.' And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, 'Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other.' Then the woman whose child was the living one spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred over her son and said, 'Oh, my lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him.' But the other said, 'He shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him.' Then the king answered and said, 'Give the first woman the living child and by no means kill him. She is his mother.' When all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had handed down, they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice." Ooh, that's a good story. I mean, like, I couldn't write a story that goes along with this message than that story. So we're familiar with this, right? These two women come in. You know, obviously, one's dead. She does a baby swap in the middle of the night. I mean, it's so mean, you know? And takes the son, and you know, the king's there. He hears this case, and it's like, it's basically, she said, she said. Where's the truth? You know what I mean? Now, I would say in this case, Solomon did not have a word of knowledge. The word of knowledge would have been, that baby belongs to her. Did you get that? So that would have been really simple, and Solomon could have said, no, I got a word from the Lord, and no, this baby is yours, kill this woman, or something like that. But so he does not use a word of knowledge. In other words, he uses a word of wisdom. And he surmises, he brings a plan to effect to show which is the true mom. Because obviously, the true mother would not want their child to be harmed. Even if the mother was not able to care for her own son, she would not want the mother to be harmed. Solomon, full of the spirit of wisdom upon him, says, cut the baby in half. I mean, Solomon sounds so cruel, right? Cut the baby in half. You know, each half give to each of the moms. And of course, the mom who really, that's the real mom, says, no, you can have the son. And the other lady says, yeah, okay, fine, we don't both have it, that's cool with me. And that's basically what happens. That is the word of wisdom. Not necessarily in this case. Solomon actually didn't have much information except what he heard from these two ladies. Two totally contradicting stories. But he's able to look, and because like God dropped this wisdom on him and just said, get me a sword. You can imagine people are freaking out. What? Because the Bible very clearly says, do not murder. But he's, give me a sword. But that was a ruse to come to the conclusion of who is the real mother. Do you see how valuable this gift is? Right? Just this incredible word of wisdom that happens. Okay. So let me give you a New Testament one. Turn to Acts chapter 15. New Testament, Acts chapter 15. So just to give us context, we're going to read this portion. Acts 15 is called the Council at Jerusalem. It's really the first theological discourse that the early church has. And so we're going to read from verse 1, and this is what he says. And some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. Therefore, being sent on their way by the church, they were passing through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and were bringing great joy to all the brethren. And when they arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But certain ones of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed stood up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to direct them to observe the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he also did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, in the same way as they also are. And all the multitude kept silent, and they were listening to Barnabas and Paul as they were relating what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. And this is the key. And after they had stopped speaking, James answered, saying, brethren, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first concerned himself about taking from among the Gentiles a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as written, after these things I will return, I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen, I will rebuild its ruins, and it will restore it, in order that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. And all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old. Therefore, it is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles, but that we write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols and from fornication and from what is strangled and from blood. For Moses, from ancient generations, has in every city those who preach him, since he is read in the synagogues every Sabbath. And then it seemed good to the apostles and so on and so forth. I want to suggest to you that this was also a word of wisdom that came down to James here in this place. And so, you know, the situation, I'll just paraphrase real quickly. So Gentiles are getting saved. They're getting saved all over the place. God's moving. Jews are also getting saved. So they're converting to the Way. In this time, considered a small sect that was called the Way. And so they start converting, and now there's an issue of what does it mean to be Christian? Does a Gentile basically have to convert to Judaism, then convert to Christianity? In other words, by getting circumcised, there needs to be a kind of a track that they need to go on, and it's dealing with the Christian faith. What does it mean to be a Christian? Do we take in all these Jewish ideas of the law? Does that apply to the Gentiles? Because it never did before in the history of their living here in this place. These things only applied to Jewish people. But now there's something else happening that's beyond being Gentile or Jew. So what does it mean to be a Christian? And this is a huge debate because some people said straight up, actually, if you don't get circumcised, you are not a Christian. Other leaders, Pharisees that are being converted to the way, to Christianity, they're also saying, no, if you really want to be saved, you need to be circumcised. Can you imagine you're a 40-year-old guy, right? It's like, what? I'm not going to be converted. Are you crazy? You know, but it's not just a physical thing. It's actually a deep spiritual and theological issue. In other words, what are you going to add to the finished work of Christ? Do you need to add this part to it now? Add circumcision? And so they get into this debate, and obviously Paul and Barnabas, and then Peter join in this argument, and so they're going back, and they said, you need to go to the council. So they get to the Council of Jerusalem, and again, James gets a word of wisdom. He gets a download, a revelation from God. And I think two things. I think he got a word of knowledge as well in terms of the scriptures from Deuteronomy that God had spoken to him. So God gives him revelation of a scripture, and then he gets a word of wisdom and says, this is what we're going to do. In other words, taking the information. You know, I mean, this was probably a pretty contentious meeting. That people, you know, the more devout Jews that wanted to keep those customs in operation still were saying, no, they need to be circumcised. And then the other guys like Paul and Barnabas and Peter, no, you know, God said this, and they're you know, quoting scripture to each other, and all these things were happening. And James, very carefully listening to all the things that's taking place, and then he makes a decision, a word of wisdom, says, no, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do X, Y, and Z, asking to forbid doing this and this and this, but no, you don't need to be circumcised. And this is the power of the word of wisdom. When the word of wisdom comes down, agreement just begins to flow. Contentious, but all of a sudden that wisdom comes down from heaven, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's it. And then peace. And then the apostles come together in agreement. They write letters. These guys are sent out and dispatched to all the different groups that are meeting all over Asia Minor. And now there's unity back into the church. See, it's a powerful, powerful gift. The word of wisdom. We should long for this gift in our lives. Now, let me give you a personal example from my own life. Now, many years ago, I got involved in a business dispute. I was not a part of it, but this is a long time ago, and we had a few members that had a business, and they were having an argument with an investor that came in later into the business. And it was very contentious. There were all Christians. I actually had a relationship with all of them. And so we're all Christians and all trying to do the right thing. But it got to a point where it was really bad, and it quite obvious they couldn't exist together. And so so they asked me, and I normally never do this, but because I love these guys so much, and because it seemed like I felt really sorry for them because it wasn't happening. And so I said, okay, I'll do this, but I said I'll only do it on one condition. In other words, I was going to come and be a mediator, okay? I'll do it on one condition: whatever I say goes. That's it. I want absolute authority. And we're talking about a lot of money here going on. I said, whatever I say goes. And they both said, okay. I said, all right, then I could work with this. Because, you know, like pastors getting involved in business things is not really recommended that much. I mean, that's just my personal opinion, right? It's just easier to keep those very clear channels, and now I'm going to get involved. Of course, and the other thing was I don't want any money, right? So I'm not coming as a paid mediator. I know you have lawyers to do that stuff. I'm doing this for free, you know, but whatever I say goes. And they said, okay, great. So we came together. And so we came together in this meeting. We met, and both sides were sharing their stories, and it was literally he said, she said. You know, they're describing the same situation, but different perspectives, and they both have different perspectives, and which is true. This is what I learned in ministry. You know, people come to me, and you know, they're complaining about their wife, And they're saying, oh, my wife is da-da-da-da. And I'm like, what? Get her on the phone. I get her on the phone, and then she tells me her side of the story. I'm like, what? Get him on the phone, you know? And that's basically what happens. And so I knew there's always a middle ground. There's always something in the middle. And so I'm listening to these things, and they're going back and forth, and hours have passed now, and we're getting nowhere. I mean, and so, you know, okay, I'll give you a little insight. I thought, of course, I prayed for this, okay? And I prayed. But I thought that I'm a really good leader. Like, let's all get in one room. Let's figure this thing out and resolve, done. And I got in that room, and I realized I'm not a very good leader. And nothing's getting resolved. In fact, it's getting worse. And unbeknownst to the parties, I started praying in tongues. And I started crying out to God, Lord, have mercy on us. I have no idea. And just then, this is so brilliant. Just then, in the midst of all this, God drops a word of wisdom. It became apparent that these two parties could not work together anymore. They were cordial, but it was just too many differences. They could not work together anymore. So one, the party that wanted to stay needed to sell the shares, and the person needed to exit the business. And it became very common. That was knowledge, but that wasn't revelation. That was just common sense knowledge, right? You guys cannot coexist together. You need to get out of the business. You need to pay them their portion, and they need to leave, and you need to run the business like you wanted to run, and so on and so forth. So we came with this, but now they had already had that discussion, and they were arguing now about the amount. How much is it to exit? So this is the word of wisdom. This word of wisdom comes down, and I just, you know, I said, okay, stop. Okay, everyone stop. This is what we're going to do. I want you to go home. I'm going to give you 2 weeks. I want you to go home, and I want you to ask the Father. I want you to ask God for the person that's going to keep the business. I want you to ask God, what is the maximum amount of money that you will pay the shares for this business? But you need to talk to Jesus, okay? I don't want your facts or your numbers. I want God to speak to you. Then the party that's the buyers that's actually going to exit, it says, I want you to go home for 2 weeks, and I want you to pray. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to give you a number of the least that you would take to exit the business, right? So you guys figure out what's the most you'll pay, and you guys figure out what's the least. And I had this word of wisdom. I felt like it was going to be an in-between number. Now, if theirs was high, then I'll in big trouble, right? But it wasn't the case. And then 2 weeks later, when they gave me, you know, they sent me the amount, I just cut it in half. So the party, this is great, the party that gave the shares away, they actually paid less than actually their number. The party that actually got exited, they actually got more than the minimum number that God had given. So both sides won. Genius. Right? No, I'm not talking about me. I told you what I was crying out to God, like, oh Lord, help me. This just has nothing to do with in this case I had no wisdom whatsoever. No knowledge, no experience, nothing. It was a spiritual gift come down from heaven. And then when it dropped in my spirit. And I just said, stop, and I just explained. The both sides says, yeah, yes, that's it. And then came out, and then, you know, the amounts. I mean, both sides were happy. They both got more than what they expected, right? Only God can do stuff like that. You know what I mean? And it's not about your intellect. It's not about your own wisdom or your own life. I had none of those things. To be quite honest, I was crying out for mercy. I was saying, Lord, I got in way over my head, right? I thought I could do this, but I can't. And so you need to really help me right now. And then right then, as soon as I humble myself, the word of wisdom just comes down. And I actually asked these people if I could share this story. And all of them said yes, because we're so blessed by the outcome. If it can bless other people, please, by all means, share. I mean, it's crazy. That's how the word of wisdom works. In that case, in my case, it had nothing to do with the word of knowledge. I actually had no revelation, specifically what to do. It was the word of wisdom that can kind of, you know, like kind of like a fine-tooth comb, just go after the real issue, the real root of it, and then bring a solution and an application which we can all come into agreement. It's the word of wisdom. It's so important. Both sides were so happy with this result. So the last point, so why should you want this gift? Now, if it's not apparent yet, you know, why should you want this gift? I don't know if I can help you that much. We should want this gift because every single day we are faced with situations at work, especially at home, in our families, that we need wisdom beyond our abilities. We need not wisdom that we accumulate through experience and through learning, but we need wisdom that comes from God. We need the spiritual gift of wisdom. We need to be able to discern rightly the facts and truth of the matter. I mean, if you've been in a situation where there's two different stories, you need God's heart and head, the mind of Christ, to come down and show you, actually, this is the truth. No, this is actually not the truth. But to do it in a way that brings unity to both people in the both situations. You know, we need to really discern rightly the facts and truth of the matter and to make sound decisions. That's what we need to do. We need to make decisions beyond our abilities. I mean, I'm imagining you guys at work. You know, I have to make so many decisions here at church. I mean, I have a whole group of people we do it with. But at the end of the day, you know, it really comes on my shoulders. There's so many different things going on. I don't want to rely on my own wisdom. I'm not wise enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not intelligent enough. It just doesn't work that way. We need help from God. And God, knowing our nature, says, I know. So let me drop you this gift. I freely give it to those that ask. How do I know this, right? We all need wisdom. James 1, 5 to 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. See, now this is not really talking about the spiritual gift of wisdom, but wisdom in general, but how much more to ask the Lord for the gift of the word of wisdom. The Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, made himself available to us by releasing the gift of the word of wisdom to help us make sound decisions. Brothers and sisters, do you need to make a decision this week? Do you need to make a life-altering decision? Maybe not your life, but other people's lives. Some of you guys are leaders in industry. Are there decisions that you make that affect people's lives? Shouldn't you want them to be sound? Should you want those decisions to be heavenly instead of just carnal and earthly? I mean, earthly wisdom, that's good too. I'm not you know, negating that, but we need wisdom. We need help from on high. The Holy Spirit gives us himself. He doesn't just give us a gift. He gives us him. The gift is himself. He gives us this gift, and he releases this gift of the word of wisdom to us. In the home, so many decisions we make with our kids, so many decisions we make in our relationships, in our families. Don't you want that word of wisdom? That's why Paul tells us, and we're going through this, 1 Corinthians 14, first part of verse 1, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Ask God for these things. Ask God for the word of wisdom. Any of you that need to make decisions, any of you that need wisdom, any of you that are maybe in a situation that I was in, have to mediate something, brothers and sisters, you need to ask God for the word of wisdom, and then you need to receive from the Lord. Amen? Let's close our eyes, invite our worship team to come. We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to pray that God would release this gift to us, if you want it. If you don't want it and don't pray, you'll never get it. I don't need wisdom for that. That's just common sense. You make 0% of the shots you never take. So we're going to sing this song together. It's the only song that we could think of that had the word wisdom in it, so it seems appropriate. We're going to sing this as a heart cry, and then we're going to pray afterwards for this gift to be released to us. Right, real simple. Go ahead, Nate.
To see things like you do, God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do, yeah. To see things like you do, God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, yes, Lord. You know just what I will love you, and I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. Oh, you know just what to do.
I invite all of us to rise to our feet, and as we continue to sing this song, as we're singing this song, if God's moving in your heart in a certain way, and you're desiring this right now, maybe you didn't before, but there's something going on inside of you, that the Spirit of God is working in you, and for whatever reason now, there's a desire that's happening. That's a work of God. And so I just want you to respond to the Holy Spirit, and I'd encourage you to get out of your seat. Come up to the altar and just start asking the Lord for that word of wisdom. And we'll just come and just lay hands real simply. Don't focus on the laying of hands, but you just, the Bible says, desire, earn, pursue love, but desire earnestly, and in this case, the word of wisdom. Just join along with the Spirit of God right now moving in your heart. So Pastor Nate is going to lead us, and I just want you to come, and we're just going to pray for you as you cry out to God, as you earnestly desire. Come on.
God, I look to you. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. And I will love you. To see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. And I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you. Forever. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are well. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be
pray together. All you guys are here, I want you to know our God is not a stingy God. He is not a stingy God. He's not someone that withholds from us. He wants to release this gift in your life because He wants you to have skill at living life. He wants you to make sound decisions in your companies, in your families. He longs for this more than you do. And so, Lord, would you release, God, the multitude of gifts in this body, Lord. Lord, particularly we're talking today about the word of wisdom, God. Would you give us wisdom beyond our abilities, beyond our experience, beyond our intellect, God. Lord, to discern rightly and to bring application of these truths in our lives that we can make sound decisions, God. Lord, really what we're talking about is we want the mind of Christ. So Jesus, the great giver, would you release these gifts to us right now, God? And let there be a hunger within this body for the things of God, the things of the Spirit, Lord. God, these gifts are not in competition with other things, Lord. Would you release in our lives? God, we thank you, God. We love you, Lord. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord causes face to shine upon you. And to be gracious to you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.